Hey, it's Nishant, and welcome to Higher IQ. It's Sunday, July 12th, and I do apologize. I'm putting this episode out a little bit later than usual. It's just been a busy day today. I didn't really have time to record, but I had to make time. You know, this is about consistency, so happy to be doing this one. So this is going to be a lighter episode. It's something that I've noticed my entire life and really never thought to question, which is that a sandwich that somebody else makes seems to taste better than the sandwich that I make for myself. I mean, they usually use the same bread, the same ingredients, pretty much the same everything, but theirs still tastes better. I always thought, though, that this was just because my mom is, in general, a very good cook, and so even if she made sandwiches, I'm like, they're naturally going to taste better. But it turns out that it doesn't really matter who's making the sandwiches, because Carnegie Mellon put out a study that said that the effect is real. It's also measurable, and the explanation involves something that your brain is doing to the food before you even take the first bite. Daniel Kahneman, who is a Nobel Prize-winning psychologist that we've referenced a few times on the show, explained it in a New York Times interview with a concept he called pre-consumption. When you make your own sandwich, you're spending several minutes handling the ingredients, smelling the mustard, seeing the cheese, arranging the lettuce, and your brain is processing all of those sensory inputs in real time. And by doing so, it's partially experiencing the food before you've taken a bite. By the time you sit down to eat, your senses have already been exposed to everything in the sandwich. Kahneman's phrase for it was that the sandwich has been pre-consumed by the time that you eat it. Carnegie Mellon's researchers tested this in a series of 5 experiments. They found that the more often people imagined eating a specific food, the less of that food that they actually ate when it was placed in front of them. The key finding was that they ate less, not because they thought it tasted worse, but because they felt less hungry for it. Extended exposure to a stimulus, whether through smell, sight, or even imagination, reduces your desire for it. Your nose has been breathing in the sandwich for the past 3 minutes while you assembled it. So by the time that your mouth gets involved, your brain has already started to move on. When someone else is making the sandwich, none of that pre-exposure happens. The full experience, every smell, every flavor, every texture, it hits you all at once when the plate lands in front of you. Your senses are encountering it fresh, and that freshness makes the ingredients taste more vivid and satisfying. The same mechanism actually explains a few other things that you've probably noticed but never connected. The 5th bite of chocolate is never as good as the first. That's because of sensory-specific satiety, which is your pleasure from a specific flavor that decreases with each successive exposure in a single setting. It's also why that you can feel completely full after a main course and still somehow have room for dessert, because dessert is a different flavor profile and your senses haven't been saturated by it yet. So your stomach didn't just magically increase in size. It was just that your brain got interested again because the stimulus changed. Restaurant food benefits from this effect in a way that home cooking can't. When a dish arrives at your table, you've had zero sensory exposure to it. You didn't smell the garlic cooking for 10 minutes. You didn't watch the sauce reduce. You didn't taste test it 3 times while adjusting the seasoning. The entire experience is novel, which means your brain's reward response is at full strength when you take the first bite. Part of why restaurants feel special has nothing to do with the chef's skill and everything to do with the fact that you weren't standing over a stove for 30 minutes before eating. And there's an emotional layer too. When someone else cooks for you, your brain registers the act of being cared for, and that emotional context changes how you perceive the food. Psychologists have found that meals eaten in positive social settings with people you feel connected to are rated as tasting better than identical meals eaten alone. The food isn't different, it's the experience around it that is. So your mom's cooking might objectively be identical to your own version of her recipe, but the experience of being cooked for by someone who loves you adds a satisfaction layer that no ingredient can replace. And if you've ever had the pleasure of having my mom's cooking, I think you know the exact level of love that I'm talking about. So as you're eating your food this week, whether it's at home or at a restaurant, this is what you should think about. Food really does taste better when someone else makes it, and it's not in your head. Carnegie Mellon researchers found that extended exposure to a food's smell, appearance, and texture while preparing it reduces your desire for it before you eat, a process that Daniel Kahneman called pre-consumption. When someone else makes the food, your senses encounter everything fresh, which makes the flavor more vivid and satisfying. The same mechanism explains why the first bite of chocolate is always the best, why you have room for dessert after a full meal, and why restaurant food feels special even when the recipe isn't complicated. Part of it is sensory novelty. Part of it is the emotional experience of being cooked for. So the next time that someone offers to make you a sandwich, let them do it. Science says it'll taste better. Stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.